take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Timothy this evening, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to study this passage of Scripture and note further reasons why we need to be students of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'd like for us to read verses 14 to 18, and then we will pray. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we ask that you would indeed draw us nearer to your blessed Son this evening. Fill us now with your blessed Holy Spirit. Be our guide, be our teacher, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Our yearly theme is based upon 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why do we need to be good students of the word of God? God calls us to be students of the Word. And this morning we noted two main reasons why God wants you and I to be a student of the Word. The first one is found in the word approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I trust and pray that you desire God's approval. God is pleased by you and I being studious when it comes to the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is all about our God. And if you love somebody, then you want to know about them. And you want to read about them. You want to meditate upon them. And the Bible teaches us that we are to study to show thyself, or to exhibit, to display, that we are approved unto God. So one reason why we need to be students of the Word of God, one reason why we need to take seriously this yearly theme in being a good student of the Word of God, is that we will gain the approval of God. And I trust that you want God's approval. You want God to say to you and I one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." By one means we can gain that approval is by being students of the precious Word of God. And secondly, note then verse 15, not only do we need to be students of the Word that we might gain God's approval, God is well pleased with it, but also note that phrase, a workman, a laborer that needeth not to be ashamed. And we stress the fact that we need to be armed for battle. God has given us His Word, and the Word is the sword of the Spirit, and we are trained to serve God effectively by the Word of God. So the idea of a workman that is not ashamed, a workman that is not ashamed, armed for battle, trained for effective Christian service. And if we become students of the Word of God, then we will be equipped to serve God effectively. Because remember there in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan came to our Lord and tempted Him each time, our Lord Jesus pulled out His own opinion? No, the Word of God. The Word of God. He quoted the Word of God. See? And you and I need to be equipped with the Word of God. And as you and I study, take seriously the charge to study the Word of God, we will be equipped for effective Christian service and we will not be ashamed. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Will you be ashamed that our Lord's coming because you have failed to be diligent in studying the Word of God? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So God has charged us to be studious when it comes to the Word of God. And by being studious, we will gain God's approval. We will be armed for battle. Now, thirdly this evening, I'd like for us to stress one other thought from this wonderful verse. Verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we determine to be studious, students of the Word of God, and then we will accurately interpret the Word of God. Paul refers directly to Timothy here and reminds him that he needs to confront some unruly believers there in the church at Ephesus. Note then verse number 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why do we need to be students of the word? Because we need to not only seek God's approval, we need to be armed for battle, but thirdly, last but not least, we need to accurately interpret the word of God. Now note then verse number 15, the word rightly and the word dividing. Rightly dividing. This is one base word. This is one base word. Conveying the idea to cut straight. Rightly, right. Something cannot be true and untrue at the same time. The word of God is true. It is truth. And the Lord Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So we need to study the word of God that we might rightly divide the word of God, cut straight the word of God. And there is another base word there that the translators use the word dividing, rightly dividing. And as I said, this is a makeup of one base word. It means to cut straight, to dissect, and as you dissect, you cut straight. To expound straight. The word of God is not to be butchered, in other words. It is not to be hacked to pieces, as the cults and liberals do with much of the Word of God today. But we are to cut straight, and many of the commentators draw the picture within the biblical setting. The stonemason would learn the art of cutting straight. And we were privileged the other year to go to Israel and see part of Herod's wall. And it's amazing, without any electrical tools in that day, they were able to cut straight. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Still a mystery to this day. How they could cut stone so straight, so accurately, and even decorate this stone. And many Bible believers believe that this idea of rightly dividing has that in mind, the idea of a mason and having the ability to split stone and to dissect stone in a straight line, to dissect, to expound. And beloved, you and I as God's people need to be students of the Word of God because we need to bear the responsibility of accurately interpreting the Word of God. The Word of God is not to be butchered. It is not to be hacked to pieces. It is to be cut straight. It is to be dissected in a straight line, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are those that are denying the divinity of Jesus Christ by taking verses out of context. They are not cutting straight the Word of God. They are not dissecting the Word of God in a straight line. They are denying the divinity of our Savior by taking verses out of context. Then we have liberal theology that denies God's power. God's power to create, for example. Denial of a literal creation by referring to passages like Genesis 1 and 2 that spells out literal 24-hour creation as just being a beautiful poetic language reflecting God's power. That's what you'll find in Anglican material. When I taught Scripture, I was bound to teach from Anglican curriculum. That was the criteria. And they won't spell out a literal creation, but they talk about Genesis 1 and 2 as poetic language, reflecting God's glory and reflecting God's power. Let me tell you, my friend, God created. God created in six literal days. God created in six literal 24-hour days. That is not cutting straight the Word of God. That is belittling the Word of God to just say that Genesis 1 and 2 is just beautiful poetic language. That's belittling the Word of God. It is the Word of God. God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are those that play with the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and say, well, this is just an allegory, a picture of past church history, as opposed to believing in the literal return of Jesus Christ and believing in a literal seven-year judgment that is spelled out there from chapter 6 to chapter 19 and believing in a literal 1,000-year reign and then an eternal state. This is what Revelation teaches. So you and I as God's people need to be students of the Word of God because we need to accurately interpret the Word of God. We need to rightly divide the Word of truth. We need to cut straight. We need to dissect. We need to expound the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be accurately and correctly broken down into digestible pieces. In Jeremiah 3:15 it reads, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. In verse 24 it reads, "And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth in truth." What a wonderful commendation. Beloved, we need to be diligent students of the word of God if we're to be commended like Elijah of old. So back in 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. We are to rightly divide the word of truth. We are to accurately interpret the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the word of God is truth. Note then verse 15 once again, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are those that do not rightly divide the word of truth. They do not dissect or expound the Word of God in a straight line. There are those that deny the teachings, the foundational teachings of the Word of God, like the divinity of Christ. Then there are those that attack the fact that God created in a literal 7 days. And so you and I as God's people need to be on guard, and you and I need to be discerning, and you and I need to be students of the Word of God. The Bible is true. It is truth. And it needs to be interpreted correctly. There is no room for for private interpretation of the Word of God. Note there in 2 Peter, please, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 20, please. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word is truth, and it needs to be interpreted correctly. There is no room for private interpretation. Scripture interprets Scripture. And you will find that if you will be a diligent student of the Word of God, you will be able to discern the counterfeit. Because God doesn't contradict Himself. His Word is true. God's Word harmonizes. So therefore, the Scriptures are not given for private interpretation. In other words, there is no place for you and I sitting around in a holy huddle and reading a passage of Scripture and going around the group and saying, well, what do you think this means? What do you think this means? What do you think this means? That's nonsense. That's private interpretation. The Word of God is true. And somebody needs to have the courage to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, this is what it teaches. And guide people accordingly. We are to rightly divide the word of truth. There is no room for any private interpretation. Now, if you look back there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'd like for us to note a couple of reasons why we need to accurately interpret the word of God. And note then verse number 14. The Apostle Paul said in verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. To strive about words to no profit. You will be kept from getting into debates over the Word of God that will lead to contention. In other words, you and I can be drawn in into wasting a lot of time if we are not students of the Word of God. Because there will be those that will want to be contentious and will want to debate the truth, the plain teachings of the Word of God. And you and I need to be diligent students of the Word of God. That way you know what you believe, you know why you believe, and you can redeem the time until Jesus comes. Because there are those that will want to waste your time. And as a young Bible college student, I wasted a lot of time studying through the Book of Mormons and debating with Seventh-day Adventists. And I worked out pretty quickly, it's a waste of time. And I needed to simply know what the book taught. Because these people wasted a lot of my time. And as a Bible college student, I didn't have a lot of free time. And I would spend countless hours going through the Book of Mormons, pulling it apart and trying to, just prove its errors. And it's full of nonsense. And I can tell you that firsthand. And the light came on. I woke up and finally saw the light for the glory of God. And I thought, hey, I don't need to be studying the Book of Mormons. I need to be studying the book, the Word of God. And when you study the real thing, then you'll know error. You'll smell error. And you'll be wise and you won't try to chase rabbits. You ever tried to chase a rabbit? Pretty difficult. They're fast. I've never caught one. As a kid, I tried a number of times. And there are people trying to chase rabbits. You'll never catch one. And you and I, as God's people, need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to be students of the word of God that we might preserve our time and not waste the time that God has given us. The devil is into wasting time. He wants to waste your time. And he will send people with false teaching your way to waste your time. And the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, strive not about words to no profit. Which strive there means to be contentious. And mark my words, wherever there's contention, there's a wrong spirit. And you need to step away. You need to step away. But also note that in verse 14, he gives us another reason why we need to be studious and we need to accurately, rightly divide the word of truth. But to the subverting of the hearers. The word subvert there is a very interesting word. It means, it comes from the base word that translated catastrophe. A catastrophe. It leads to a catastrophe of the hearers. In other words, if you and I are not diligent students of the Word of God, then we can be misled. We can become a catastrophe. Many people are being led astray because they are not diligent students of the Word of God. People take verses out of context and place their wrong private interpretation on isolated verses. And you and I, as God's people, need to be diligent students of the Word of God, that we might interpret the Word of God accurately, that we might be spared of wasting time, and we might be spared of being misled. And Paul said to young Timothy, Timothy, be careful. There are some that are out there to mislead. The Bible teaches very clearly the doctrine of eternal security. Jesus Christ said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. What does that mean? I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's what it means. It's as simple as that. There are those that teach this Calvinistic doctrine. And the idea is because God knows all, He has ordained all, and that includes whom He chooses to save and whom He chooses not to save. That's heresy. That's nonsense. That's what you'll be taught in the local Presbyterian church or the local Anglican church, because these are Protestant churches. They are Reform-based churches. We are a Bible-based church. We believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever, for God so loved the world. Well, Pastor, what does the world mean? Well, what do you think the world means? World. That's why God used the word world. For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. That's truth. That's the Word of God. That's what we believe as a Bible-believing church. Amen. Pentecostal doctrine of tongues. Well, they need to read their Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible teaches us, every man heard in his own language. That's biblical tongues. There's a difference between the Old Testament Israel and the church of the New Testament. They are not one of the same. They are distinct. And beloved, there are people being subverted, become a catastrophe, they've been misled because they don't study the Word of God. But also note then verse 16, another danger of not rightly dividing the Word of truth, of not accurately interpreting the Word of God. Note then verse 16, but shun. The word shun means to turn from, to avoid. To shun profane, vain, empty babblings. For they will increase unto more what? Ungodliness. See, mishandling of the Word of God will not lead to Christ-likeness. will not lead to Christ's likeness. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. First Timothy chapter 4. I'm hot. Are you hot? You're okay. It's just me getting worked up. Okay. That's okay. Good. Good. I'm doing my job. Okay. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verses 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So the Bible teaches us that we need to exercise ourselves, discipline ourselves, unto godliness. And you and I need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to accurately interpret the word of God. We need to be studious in the word of God that we might cut straight, we might dissect straight the word of God. Because error leads to ungodliness. Wherever there is error, there is ungodliness. Don't be fooled by the outward appearance. Whenever there is error, there is ungodliness. And I will guarantee you, behind those JWs that look so clean and family orientated, that go door to door peddling their error, there is ungodliness because there is error. You will not achieve godliness apart from truth. So when there is error, there is ungodliness. That's what the Bible teaches. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Ungodliness. And I trust and pray that you and I, as God's people, want to be godly. But we need to accurately interpret the Word of God. We need to be studious when it comes to the Word of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5. It reads, having a form of godliness, but what? Denieth the power thereof. Look godly from the outside, but there is no evidence and power of the Spirit from within. And the Bible teaches us, from such turn away, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Beloved, you and I need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to accurately interpret the word of God. And if we are to accurately interpret the word of God, we need to be students of the word of God. It involves some work. Therefore, the word study. Study. A workman. It takes some effort. Also note there in verse number 17 and 18. Those that propagate error, and their word will eat as doth a canker. The word canker there means to break down, to destroy. In fact, the root word is the base word that we get the word gangrene. Gangrene. Will eat as doth a canker. And then the Apostle Paul goes on and he mentions two men that are propagating error, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. A cancer kills. And there are many so-called ministers today that are murderers in the pulpit, not building up people with the Word of God, but assassinating people with error. Amongst these were Hymenaeus and Philetus. And note then verse number 18, who concerning the truth have erred. They've deliberately rejected truth, teaching, saying that the resurrection is past already. There will be no future resurrection. And the result is to overthrow the faith of some. Listen, beloved, you and I need to be students of the Word of God that we might gain God's approval, that we might be workmen that are not ashamed, equipped, and that we might rightly divide the Word of truth, lest we become a castaway. And Hymenaeus and Philetus did a good job in causing people to abandon their faith, to question their faith, saying that the resurrection is past already, and note the end of verse 18, and overthrow the faith of some. What a sad commentary. The Apostle Paul wasn't backward in coming forward in mentioning those that were propagating error. And let me warn you, church family, you be careful. Whoever's popular at Coorong ought not to be popular with a Bible-believing Christian. You be careful. John Piper, beware. Keith Piper's a good bloke. John Piper's a bad bloke. He's a hyper-Calvinist. He's got some good teachings in some other areas, but he will lead you astray when it comes to the doctrine of Calvinism. Very, very popular today. He claims to be a Baptist. Very, very popular today. Stay away from John Piper. Don't you go Googling John Piper now. Bad news. Bad news. Steve Anderson is another guy. Be careful. Claims to be an independent Baptist. Believes you should kill sodomites. Yes. Has an authority issue. He has an authority issue and he breeds people that have a problem with authority. He doesn't believe in the premillennial pre-tribulation rapture. He believes the people are raptured halfway into the tribulation. That's nonsense. That's not Bible teaching. My Bible teaches me we are saved from the wrath of God to come through faith in Jesus Christ. You be careful of Steve Anderson. Oh, he has some wonderful little YouTube clips. So does John Piper. But don't be fooled. You become a student of the book. Beloved, let's be a student of the book, lest you, like many others, are being led astray. Why? Because of their rebellious spirit. A lot of people are in there because they've got a wrong spirit. I see it time and time again. They're looking for a way out. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe what you believe anymore. The problem is your ungodliness, that's your problem. And you're looking for something to latch on to. I've seen it over the years. Wrong spirit, wrong attitude. And they're looking for John Piper doctrine. They're looking for Steve Anderson doctrine. They're looking for something. May God spare us. Need to be warned, people of God. Oh, Pastor, that's not very nice that you mention these people. Well, the Apostle Paul mentioned people. You need to be warned. Yes, you need to be warned. Because these guys look good on the outside. They know how to put a YouTube clip together. Clever. I've got no idea. Amen. I don't care. I'm not interested in putting YouTube clips together. I'm interested in the book and preaching the book and pastoring my church family and teaching truth. That's what I'm concerned about. I couldn't care less about being famous. I want to be a man of the book. And beloved, you ought to desire to be a person of the book. Who concerning the truth have erred. How sad. And overthrow the faith of some. And beloved, let me just warn you this evening, if you do not become a student of the book, you are subject to being led astray. Yes, you are. If your attitude is, oh, Pastor, I'm just thankful I'm saved. Well, I'm thankful I'm saved as well, but you need to be a student of the book. Otherwise, you might become the next Anglican and believe in amillennialism. Or become the next Presbyterian who believes in Calvinism. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. This is a Bible-believing church. I want to be known as a man of the book. What about you? What about you? You need to study the book. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. Because the words of these false teachers are like a canker, like a cancer that kill and overthrow the faith of some. See, and that's why it reads there in verse 19, by the way, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows who's really saved or not. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. What sort of iniquity? What sort of sin? These false teachers. These false teachers. Beloved, it is so critically important that we diligently study the Word of God. It will enable us to redeem our time. It will preserve us from being misled. Verse 14. It will keep us from ungodliness. And it will protect us from being shipwrecked in our faith. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, the Apostle Paul feared becoming a shipwrecked. And may God preserve us with the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My friend, why do we need to be students of God's book? Well, do you want God's approval? Yes or no? Do you want God's approval? Then study His book. Do you want to be well equipped for Christian service? Yes or no? So you need to be a student of the Word of God. Do you want to accurately interpret the Word of God? Yes or no? Then you need to be a student of the Word of God. Listen, you can believe whatever you want to believe in Christian circles. There are so many flavors, so many sizes, so many variations. Just take your pick. So many different brands of Christianity today. It's pathetic. So you can take your pick. But beloved, if you want Bible Christianity, then you need to be a student of the book. You need to roll up your sleeves and study the book. Be a student of the book. Study the Word. You can choose to believe whatever you want to believe. And go down to Coorong and take your pick. You can be charismatic if you want. Buy these charismatic books. You can be an ecumenist. You can be a Calvinist. You can be an amillennialist. Take your pick. It's all in the books that you read. It's all in what you study. But beloved, let's be people of the book. Let's love the Word of God. Let's be known as people that love the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 needs to be your goal. Needs to be my goal in 2019. Why? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Approved, armed, accurately interpret the word of God. That's why we need to be students of the book. And by God's grace, we will teach you in 2019 how you can be a student of the Word of God. Let's bow for prayer.